morning, everybody. The last time I spoke, it was December 27th, and I was asked to speak again, which I am more than willing, even with the first couple sentences, I already knew he was going to ask me again, so I was more than willing, and it was just like that, because there's so much being downloaded, and I'm sure some of you are feeling the same way, that it has to be told. So before I get started, I just felt that I need to give a little bit of a message before I start into my message. So, and that is that we have to, starting today, and if you haven't done this already, we have to remove our eyes off of man, okay? Off of what we see in the natural world, because there's all kinds of things going on in the spiritual realm. And, you know, growing up, when you would hear the word supernatural, that was something that was weird sounding. So was spiritual realm, because you think of weird things. Well, I learned that it's okay to be a little bit weird. I happen to be one of those people. But we have to understand that by taking our eyes off of man, that there are things taking place in the background that we don't see, because we can only have the ability to see in the natural realm. My desire for myself and for all of you is that we're able to get those blinders off and be able to see a little bit of what's getting worked on with what we can't see. So that in that invisible reality, because things are not what they seem. Things are not just the struggle or the mountain that's in the way. There's water under those mountains. So we have to keep our focus on Him. It can't shift around, because once that happens, that's when the doubts and the negativity and the hopelessness and those thoughts where our faith wavers start to happen. We're not designed to be fearful. We are the warriors of Christ. We are here for a sole purpose, and that is to work in His army alongside of Him. If we are weak and wavering, that's not going to happen. So we have to make sure that we realize that the things that seem impossible, that they are already in the works, they're already happening, because He makes a way. So I teach elementary school art. And when I teach my kids, in order for them to remember something, I make them repeat after me. So I'm going to make you do that right now. So I want you to say after me, He makes a way. So when things seem impossible, He makes a way. How many of you have ever been caught between a rock and a hard place? Okay, I've heard that saying many times throughout my life, and I don't know that I ever really knew what it meant, because it doesn't make sense. A rock in a hard place. A rock is hard. A hard place, it's got to be the same thing as a rock. So that means you're stuck in a little place or you don't have anywhere to go. Okay? And that's a hopeless place to be in. But not if we continue to put our trust and faith in Him. Now, growing up in Sunday school, we heard many Bible stories. Okay? Some of them I remembered, some of them I didn't, maybe I didn't remember because they weren't interesting to me. But just recently, I heard a Bible story that reached so deep within me that I had to share. I'm going to reshare it, because I don't know if we realize that there are so many parts of this story where there was so much thing, there's so many things happening in the spiritual realm, that there was a way being made when there seemed to be absolutely no way that any of this could even take place. So I'm going to read, Sheila, Isaiah 43. And I'm reading out of the Message Bible. And I'm going to read a lot of this because it's, to me, it's extremely important with the story that I'm going to tell you. So, but now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it will not be a dead end, because I am God. I am your personal God. The Holy of Israel, your Savior, I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt. That's how much you mean to me. This is how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. I would trade in all of creation just for you. So I'm still in Isaiah 43, but I'm going to move to verses 16 through 21. And Sheila, I'm not sure if I told you these ones or not, but I'm going to read them. This is what God says. The God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves. The God who summons horses and chariots and armies. They lie down and they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert and be present for now. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, the rivers and the badlands. Wild animals will say thank you. The coyotes, the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. Now in Hebrews 11:1, I'm going to read this before I get into my story here that I'm going to hopefully paint a good picture of how this works. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. A couple examples of this are Enoch, who skipped death, okay? They couldn't find him because God just zapped him away. Noah was told with precise directions to build an ark with a specific kind of wood with precise dimensions. And he believed that it would work because he was told by God. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would later become his home. And by faith, barren Sarah, who was old, believed that one day she would mother a child. And all those things happened. So we don't have the right as warriors in this army to doubt what has already been set in place. So I'm going to tell you a story of one of the most amazing pictures to me of how one of the toughest, most desolate of circumstances became a victory because of an extreme act of faith. One of the characters that I'm going to talk to you is a mother in the Bible, and her name was Jochebed. Okay, and those of you that might know, she is the true birth mother of Moses. I don't know, and I've done some research on this, I don't know if Jochebed named Moses herself or if he was named later on, and I'll get to that. I'll get to that part in a minute. But Jochebed became pregnant at a time when an edict, which is a decree, like a legal decree, that was sent out by Pharaoh to kill all of the babies born to the Hebrews, all of the male boy babies. As a mother myself, and I'm sure all of you can relate, and even the fathers, that knowing that this would be the case, you're a Hebrew and you're with child and you're getting ready to have a baby, you would be praying that it was maybe going to be a girl or that something would happen so that we could avoid this slaughter of these innocent children. However, there was another plan taking place. She gave birth to a baby boy. And her husband's name is Amram, and he helped her hide the baby for 3 months. Now, I don't know what that would be like to hide a baby, because we know what they're like, especially at 3 months. They're loud, and they make a lot of noise, so I'm sure it was extremely difficult. But through that, even in the hiding phase, they had to have faith that he would be safe and protected. But I'm sure there had to be, being that we are human, there had to be unimaginable fear, knowing that eventually, if this baby would be found out, that he would be killed. So after the 3 exhausting months and lots of prayer, Jochebed went to the Nile River, which is a huge river in Egypt, and she gathered up some reeds to put together a basket because she had to, what she felt was right was making this basket, waterproofing the basket, and putting baby Moses in it and putting him in the water in hopes that somebody would maybe find him, because the difficulty of trying to hide him was getting too much. So if we could just imagine this for a moment. This is a mother of an innocent infant. She is gathering reeds to build a basket to essentially send off her child in hopes that somebody was going to pick the basket up. I can't even fathom the heartbreak or the terror and the feeling of being desperate that this is the end result. This is where they're going with this. They're putting him in the water to give him away, essentially hoping that nothing would eat him. I mean, there's lots of critters in the Nile. So the day finally came where she knew that she had to do this. So the journey of them walking to the riverbank, I can't imagine either. Miriam, who is 15 years older, I believe, than baby Moses, went with her mother. All the while, both of them knowing that this was the day that they were going to essentially give him into, you know, send him off into the water. They didn't realize that behind the scenes, there was a great grand plan that was being put into place. With faith, Jochebed put Moses into the water. I am imagining that, I don't know this for sure, but I'm imagining that it was unbearable for her and she just put him in and took off. However, Miriam, being curious and younger, decided to hang out a little bit to probably see if he was going to be okay and maybe to see if somebody was going to find him. She follows the basket as it starts to travel up the Nile. And I'm sure the current probably picked it up a little bit, and she's then running probably to see where he's going to go, because I'm sure it was hard for her as well. And she watches as the basket gets caught into a thick area. They're called bulrushes. I remember that being said whenever I was younger in Sunday school. But what it is just thick water-type reeds like cattails would be here. As he gets stuck, she notices that there's a group of people coming down and they're walking along the river, so she kind of hides a little to see. And she notices that one of the individuals there is Pharaoh's daughter. Now, her name is like a tongue twister. I'm going to say it to you, but if I have to say it a bunch of times in a row, it sounds like I'm saying it wrong or I'm saying something else. So this is the character. Pharaoh's daughter is Hatshepsut, okay? It's funny, I know. So Hatshepsut is coming down. Is this irony that they're walking down at the same time as Moses gets stuck in those thick weeds? Isn't it something that here they are, just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, at the exact time? Now, a little bit about Hatshepsut, and this is done by research that I did on my own, so whether it's completely accurate, I don't know, but it's good to have a little bit of background on her. She was able to birth a child. She birthed one child, and it was a girl. Then she became barren after that. But her desire, because being with a pharaoh, was to have a son so that son could eventually take over the throne. So that was her desire. The Nile River in Egypt. The ancient Egyptians believed that it had abilities to make things fertile that were infertile, whether it be soil or people. They believed in not our god, but other gods and things. So she was actually, they had tons of bathhouses, I'm sure, where she lived because she's royalty. But she was traveling down to the Nile to bathe in those waters in hopes that she would become fertile again. Well, that's interesting too, isn't it? Instead of getting her bath to hopefully have a child of her own, she hears the baby crying. She bends down and she picks up that child. Now, ladies, mothers, those of you, it does not matter if you have a child or if you don't have a child. But when a new baby is put into your arms for the first time, there's an instant connection. We were designed that way. So Hatshepsut, I said I wasn't going to say her name a lot, but I guess I'm going to. She scooped Moses up. She held him to her chest, and there was an immediate connection there. That little tiny baby had to be hers. She knew, I believe, that he was a Hebrew child. She was saving his life. Think about the timing, the precision, the accuracy of how God was working behind the scenes to start to restore this situation. This is a way that no one could see. He was blazing a path like a big, bold trailblazer that no one had any idea about. This happens all the time. It still happens today. There was a destiny for Moses that day, like there's a destiny for us from the time we are birthed, before we're birthed into this world. I don't know about you, but when I feel this is not in my notes. When I feel the Holy Spirit rising, there's things that I have. I have all this stuff that I want to finish, but I have to say this first. Okay. You have a destiny. It doesn't matter where you came from. Please hear me now, because this is extremely important. I don't care what the pathway was that led you to wherever you are. If you keep going back again and again and again and again and again, and you're lost, and you're still lost. There has been a destiny for you from the time you were cells in the mother's womb, from the time he knew you before you were birthed. It doesn't matter how desperate or how desolate your situation may be or even still is today. It doesn't matter if you don't have a penny to your name. You were put here for a sole purpose, and that is to fulfill his destiny for you. Not your destiny, his destiny. If you have children that you don't even have any kind of relationship with because they are so far gone, and you are desperate, and you are on your knees, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing weeping and just you're sick because you've shed so many tears that there aren't any even left to come out. I see every tear that falls, and I see that in this is happening now. There's going to be a supernatural turn around, that hope is going to be restored. So where there was hope deferred, hope will be restored now in Jesus' name, because they are all coming back. It's going to be like the dry bones, the army, the flesh, the muscle, everything's going to come back on. They're going to rise up, and they're going to fulfill their part in this army. Thank you. Any kind of oppression or heavy weightiness, that's going to be gone, and you're going to be restored. Imagine the testimonies. Imagine the works that these people are going to be able to do because of what they went through. Just like the story of Moses that I'm going to finish, he's going to do it again. He is going to do it again because his word still stands. It still works. Amen. while she was holding this child. In her head, she's thinking how she can't wait to go back to show this little boy to Pharaoh. And Miriam is trying to decide what she's going to do. The hand of God is still in this story. She approaches Hatshepsut and tells her that she knows of a perfect person that can nurse this baby. It wasn't uncommon then. It's still something that happens now with royalty to find an individual that can nurse the child, to breastfeed the child, and to take care of the child. So Miriam went and got Jochebed, Moses' real mother, got to care for her own baby. But he was safe now, because now he was part of the family of not only the Hebrews of her womb, but of the Egyptians. She not only became his nurse, but she made the most out of her time teaching Moses about God. Seeds were being planted through Jochebed, his real mother, for his destiny. The interesting thing here is how deep his roots were, because not only were they with the Hebrews and the stories that she told him, but he also had knowledge of all of the things that the Egyptians were doing. The plan for his life was set in place long before his birth, with his destiny of ultimately becoming the deliverer of Israel. He went through a lot of things, Moses did. Lots of trials. But he had no idea during those moments of how he would be used at those certain times. Eileen, I remember you mentioning that he had a stutter. And my mom just told me the other day that Aaron was used kind of as his mouthpiece. This is just to show you that the Waymaker was making a way from the very beginning. And it doesn't matter, like I said, where you came from. There's a way, and there's a supernatural victory at the end of all of these stories that we've had told to us since we were children. It's no different now. It doesn't matter what things look like from our natural eyes. There is all kinds of things happening in the background. And like I said, I believe that this is happening today. Hope is being restored. We've had quite a year. It's been scary at times, but slowly and surely, we're realizing that things are not what they seem. And the truths of the situations that cause fear in probably every one of us are not what they seem. And slowly but surely, these situations are being turned around, and that's further shifting our focus back onto him. I believe that we are recalibrating as individuals of the ecclesia. And I believe that those that aren't in this structure are also being recalibrated, whether they realize it or not. It's happening. My desire and my prayer for them, the lost, is that they feel a tangible presence, because people like that have to feel a tangible, real presence. And that he'll do a magnificent real work through them and heal them just by his presence. That the situations that look like that they're so full of despair, that they'll be turned around and be used for you. Let them see a calling with a revelation that has never been experienced before. Awaken, awaken, awaken. Let them see hope and a victory. Amen. I need a Kleenex because I have liquids coming out of places that, okay, thank you, Justine. I'm not done. Sometimes Moses needed an errand, like I said. I just found that out the other day, so I don't want to act like I knew that, because I didn't. I had no idea he stuttered. In fact, Eileen, when you said that, I thought, how does she know that? But I thought, well, she must have an idea of some kind. So some of us, Eileen, I want to just say just real quick that I don't remember how long ago it has been, but she approached me and said that when she prays for me, she sees big letters that say boldness. And it was so interesting because that's what I have, over the course of the last year or so, have becoming into that boldness, which I'm sure you can see maybe a little bit of that today. I have a message to read to you. Diane, who's my mom, I'm supposed to say that it's from you. She said, if you don't feel in your heart that you should say who wrote it or where it came from, it's from the Holy Spirit, but it's for all of us. So I am going to read this to you because along with my story of Moses, I believe that it's going to restore hope. Before I do that, though, the word Moses, Mo means water, and the end of that, in whatever language they use, means to save from drowning. So that's why I'm not sure if he was named before or after he was saved from the Nile. Either way, it's pretty interesting facts. Okay, so come with me now while I read this, and I believe that this is going to encourage you as well. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I am your fortress, I am your refuge, fear not. Did I not say that I would protect you from the pestilence? Be encouraged. Did you know that nothing catches me by surprise? I know the beginning from the end. Do you realize that everything that happens to you is filtered through my infinite love and my perfect will concerning you? Be encouraged. I have you cradled in the palm of my hand, so lift up your heads and open the eyes of your spirit and see what I'm doing in the earth. I am moving in and through the darkness, in and through the shadows of the nations, shining my marvelous light. My son exposing the wicked schemes of the enemy, the evil one. I am redeeming my children. I am bringing my ecclesia, my family back together in unity. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world and we win. I ask you this, will you join me as I advance my kingdom? Will you put on my armor? Will you put on my helmet, my breastplate, my shield, my belt, my shoes? And will you wield my sword of the Spirit, my word which is sharp and powerful, cutting deep right through to where soul meets spirit and joints meet marrow? Even discerning what is in the hearts of mankind, will you join me as we take back what the enemy has stolen from you? Again, I say, be encouraged. I have overcome the world, and we win. There's a lot of that goes right along with my message. I'm going to pray again because I feel like some of you are, I don't know why the word hinged keeps coming into my brain, but your hinges are affected and it makes it really difficult for you to do the things that you want to do. And I don't know if that means physically or spiritually, but I'm going to pray over everyone right now because I believe in the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. And from the time I walked in the door here today, he was here, and I've been praying into that since I stepped foot into this building, into this structure. So we welcome your presence here, Lord, and we know that you can do mighty things. And with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability, through Holy Spirit, to provide things not only in the spiritual realm, but to provide healing in the physical realm as well. So if there is anyone here, you don't have to stand up, you don't have to raise your hands, and you don't have to come forward. I'm just going to pray over you right now, over bodies, over physical bodies, from head to toe. If there are things on you that just won't heal, whether it be muscular, it's joints, some type of sores, in Jesus' name, those are going to be healed right now. Right now. The neck pain and the pain behind the shoulder blade, that all it does is just nag and nag and nag, and it just doesn't go away. Be healed in Jesus' name. Your hard of hearing and everything is muffled. And it's so annoying because when people are talking to you, you can't hear what they're saying, and then they get aggravated because they have to repeat, repeat, repeat. I pray in Jesus' name that those muffled words and things that cause confusion, that is gone in Jesus' name. Because all that does is hinder the words of the Lord, and hear, not being able to hear with muffled ears, that is gone, that you hear with clarity from now on, from this day forward. Knees, the knees that just, you used to pray on your knees, you can't even get down there anymore because you can't get up. We're healing that. Heal that in Jesus' name. Any pain in the abdomen, that area, in the belly area, the stomach area, the digestive area. Any pain that causes, there's a burning pain, and it's nagging. And it also is very annoying because you can't enjoy the foods that you used to eat because it just infiltrates everything. Be healed in Jesus' name. And then those of you with sicknesses or illnesses that the doctors, they don't have anything for. Some of the time you think, is this all in my head? I don't know. There's confusion there and it makes you question everything. It's because that illness, you're not even supposed to have it. So I decree that is going to vanish from the time you stand up and leave this sanctuary, leave this structure, that is gone, because that causes confusion in your spirit. And you question, why do I have this if it has no purpose? We found a lump somewhere. They have to do a biopsy. They don't know what it is. You're scared to death. The biopsy is going to come back normal. There is no lump. There is no cancer. So whatever was going to be planned out with your treatments or whatever was going to happen there, that is done. And for those that have things that are infiltrating your mental and your cognitive way of thinking, forgetfulness, depression, anxiety. You weren't diagnosed with anything, but you can't. All you do is worry. You're scared of everything. And the confusion is there because you're a Christian. You're part of the ecclesia. You've been in the church since you were born. Why are you worried? Why are you so scared? Why are you so fearful? That's gone. In Jesus' name, that's gone. You are the encourager, you are the healer, and you're the restorer of physical things, you're the restorer of spiritual things. We thank you, Jesus. today and every day for the healings that you are going to provide that you have already done. It is well with our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just take a couple minutes? I just feel like we need to just enter into a state of worship. So I think I'm done talking. I'm not. This might be the only time of the week that you can truly connect, or you feel that this is the only time of the week, Sunday mornings, that you can truly connect with the Heavenly Father. It shouldn't be that way. The Holy Spirit should enter in and be with you every day, whether you're in the car, in the bathroom, outside mowing the grass, shoveling snow. He's there. He's an everlasting presence in your life. You just have to receive Him and believe in Him. And He will continue to work in you and do those great and mighty things. So I pray that over you today, that when you leave, that you find the Holy Spirit and you get a relationship with Him every minute of every day. And we know that this is all done in your mighty precious name.